And a particular welcome now to Henny Otto, who has been extremely preoccupied this week in the Dunhill. And it's just a great privilege to have Henny at the end of this week here tonight. Henny is from South Africa. He's going to introduce himself and tell us how the Lord Jesus has transformed and is transforming. Welcome, Henny.
Thank you. First things, thank you for this special moment to share what God has done for me. I always shed a tear because in a place where I used to be, it was dreadful. And it's a privilege to speak about God's word to people out there. And like I said on Wednesday, I'm not ashamed. Sometimes I'm a bit too bold about it, but I go the full Monty. English is my second language. Scottish is my third language. So you must just excuse my accent if you don't understand. I just want to say a prayer first, please. You just bow your heads. Lord, I want to thank you. Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit will fill my heart, will give me the words of encouragement to the people out there. Lord, it's not about me, it's about you. Lord, I stand here in front of you, ask you to give me the strength and the words to fill for these people. Amen. I was born in South Africa. It was a little town or town, big town now called Boksburg. At the moment, what happens there is if you haven't got a gun, they give you one. Yeah, that's a little saying in South Africa if you come from Boksburg. My parents was divorced when I was 5 years old. And I was privileged to grew up with my grandparents. They took me into their house. What a wonderful life I had with them. And living with them, I was lucky that I could do a lot of sports. And eventually I had two sports in my life. It was rugby. Who knows rugby? Is there anyone who knows rugby? Oh, no. And golf? Someone knows golf? Now we are in the home of golf, aren't we? So those were the two sports I was really good at. At the age of 14, if you have to look at it, I played for the national team, the seniors team, that's over 18s and above. When I was 15, I played, if I have to put it in perspective, is the first team club rugby for St. Andrews when I was 15. So I was very privileged to be good in those two sports. But then the role model comes in. You see, when you're 15 and 14, and you grow up in a big man's world, bad things happen. Because, like I said on Wednesday, my dad, I love my dad, and he passed away December last year. But he wasn't a good role model. I still love him. I would always love him because he's my dad. But to say he wasn't a good role model. And through playing rugby and golf, the world sucks you in. And the world I'm talking about is the devil. Sucks you in such a bad way that you can't get out of it. And if I have to, I'm 37 now. But 4 years ago, before the good thing happened, was, I don't want to go through my whole story, but it's just, if you think about it, I got stabbed. I nearly got shot. I was in a lot of bar fights in South Africa. You can ask my wife, she's there. She's been with me for 20 years. There's no lie. I've been hit with a wine bottle over my head that I was nearly dead. So that's what the world does to you. And the one thing I want to read to you is Galatians 5:19, verse 19 to 21. That's what the world does to you. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is a fact. In 2009, we still used to play in Loch Lomond, the Scottish Open. And after missing a cut on the Friday night again, I decided, you know what? I'm having a big night again. I'm going to drown my sorrows once again. And about starting to drink from about... By the way, I was drinking at the age of 14. To be just to tell the youngsters. When I was 14, I was drinking already. Because the world is so nice if you want to be a big man, huh? It's not a nice place. I'll explain it to you. So about, started drinking about 4 in the afternoon, but the next morning, 3 o'clock. Imagine what you look like from 4 in the afternoon till 3 the next morning. It's not a good sight. I decided that I had enough. I mean, you can only drink so much, can you? And there was a lot of things what happened. It was in a little town called Bullock in Scotland. Can you believe it? There must be something about Scotland. I played well today and yesterday and the day before. And the sun was shining. And on my way home, I decided that I can't carry on living the life I've been living. I'm not going to carry on about all the things. We're going to stand here for the whole night. But on the way home, I was confused. And, you know, when you get to a certain point in your life, when you get that far, some people commit suicide. How they do it is up to them. Some shoot them, cut their wrists, drink pills, and whatever. But I got to this stage that I was running into a brick wall that I couldn't go left or right or even forward anymore. But I knew there was one person left that I can reach out to. And on my way back home, I went there 2 years ago just to make sure where it was. It was in front of a little church. Whoever's been to Bullock, if you drive into Bullock, McDonald's is on your left-hand side. But if you go right, just around the corner, there's a little church in the background there. I didn't know then it was a church because I was really drunk. I went down on my knees because I knew there was one person left. And I repented. From whatever I've done all my life till up to that point of time, I asked him, all right, here I am. Let's give it a go. Let's give it a chance. Let's see. And I asked him to help me. In that little prayer I made there, a light. Remember, this is like 3:30 in the morning. The sun doesn't shine 3:30 in the morning. A light came upon me. I explained on Wednesday, about a yard on the left and a yard on the right. It's a bright light. See that light there? That bright. 3:30 in the morning. I believe it now because when Paul went to Damascus, a bright light shone upon him. And that light shone on me. And God spoke to me in a language that I could understand. And it's difficult to translate in direct words, but he said, I waited for you, and now you're mine. Amazing. But it's a language that I could understand. Definitely not Scottish, but I wouldn't have understood a word. But the amazing thing was, it was just tears flowing, and I tried to call my wife. And normally in that state, she knows, I want to speak to my kids, I miss them, and I miss you, and she starts crying. She put the phone down 3 times while I tried to give a call, because I know, I mean, now it's 4:30 in the morning in South Africa. But I need to tell someone what happened. Because this is not human. this is not human. This is not right. These things don't happen. And I made a call to my father-in-law to a landline in South Africa. It's a pity he's not here today because he could tell you the story as well. The first words that he spoke to me when he picked up the phone. Remember, it's not a mobile, it's a landline. It doesn't say who phones, who calls. He calls me a name, he calls me Obut. He says, I waited for this call, tell me what happened. And he started weeping and crying, and we spent an hour on the phone. I told him exactly what happened. And he told me, remember the day I told you, when it happens, you will know it happens. You know, the amazing thing is, I live for this Bible now, because all my answers are in this Bible. Because if you read Acts, verse 2, verse 21, it says, listen, everyone who calls upon my name will be saved. Not maybe, or just give it. Will be saved. Everyone will be saved. Black, white, purple, blue persons, doesn't matter. Even the Smurfs, they blue. Huh? They can be saved. Everyone. But I'm going to read to you quickly through this in Matthew 14, verse 22 to 32. This is just a quick thing of my answers are in the Bible. Just a quick to tell you actually your answers are in the Bible. Immediately Jesus made disciples get into the boat. That is after Jesus fed the 5,000 people. Into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side. While he dismissed his crowds, after he had dismissed them, he went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already on a considerable distance from land, buffed by the waves because the wind was against them. During the fourth watch of the night, that's early mornings, I presume. This is the English Bible, I'm not English. By the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on water." You remember, people walking on water, that doesn't happen. You try walk on water. I mean, jump in the sea and try walk deep sea, you can't do it. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Listen to this. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why you doubt?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind died. You see, if you live according to Galatians 5:19, you don't see the good things, never. You always see the winds, the storm. In the Afrikaans version of my Bible, it says big waves. Reminds me of the movie Perfect Storm, those waves. See, Peter starts seeing the negative things when he got out the boat. Because it's not human to walk on water. I mean, have you tried walking on water? It doesn't work. So the storms, the wind and the waves are the sinful world that we look around not to see the good things. But when... You must listen. But when he asked Jesus, "Is it you?" Jesus said, "It's I." Then Peter got out and walked on the boat because he knew Jesus replied. But on the way to Jesus, he started looking around and lost focus. We all do that. Oh, we human beings. But if you look at verse 27 to 31 again, but Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it's I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down on the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You see, this is like my life here. When I went down on my knees and I repented to God and asked Jesus to save me and help me, he did it immediately. I was sinking. But he didn't wait for me till I was drowning head under the water. When I went down, he grabbed me and he pulled me up. Immediately. But I never knew that if you do ask God or Jesus to come into your life and the Holy Spirit, what do you get? Actually, I never knew that. I always thought, but now, where do I go from now? What do I get? Do I get money? Do I get something? Do I become a king? Or I don't know. But you know what I got? Galatians 5 verse 22. And I never knew that. I know now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I still struggle with self-control on the golf course, but yes, I'm getting there. Against such things is no law. My translation, you get it for free. Because why would you want to live like Galatians 5 verse 21? If you do all those things, no good comes out of that. Go read it. Go sum it up and read it. No good comes out of Galatians 19 to 21. Never ever. But why don't you want love, joy, peace? It's like when you want to talk to someone about Jesus in the street. Not now, I need to go. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. Not now, please. Not now, I need to go. Huh? But if you talk about the devil, they know about the devil. That's a fact. They would talk about the devil things, but they don't want to talk about Jesus. That's amazing. Don't you want joy, love, peace, kindness, self-control? Don't you want that? I found it. And that's for free. You just have to open your heart and he gives it to you. But it doesn't stop there. You have to go further and read the word. What do I want to say today? Doesn't matter how your life is, what circumstances you've got, what your waves and your winds and the storms look like. Get out the boat. You're sinking already, but give it a chance. Walk to Jesus. Give him that chance and see what he's going to do for you. It's like the knock on the door. Do you know the knock on the door? Do you know the knock on the door? He's knocking. He's always been there. But we don't open the door. Because the latch is on your side. He's been knocking. All we have to do is just open the door. And let's take the walk. Get out the boat. Trust me. He's not going to let you drown. Because here I'm standing today. I didn't drown. I can talk about Jesus. I can talk about what he's done for me. It's unbelievable. If you have to ask people in South Africa that any author will stand in a church and talk about Jesus, that would not have happened. Never. And the one thing he does tell me and us in the Word is, seek the kingdom of God first, and He will honor you. Double that. And He's done it to me. I spoke about it on Wednesday. He's done it for me. He can do it for you. Doesn't matter who you are. He can do it for you. You see, if you don't believe me, there's a story, it's a true story. It's a guy called Julius Megan. He's an evangelist in South Africa. Similar to Angus Buchan, but he sings as well. A person came up to him the one day, he says, I don't believe in your Jesus and your, he's been rose from the dead and all this crap. He says to him, okay, really? I said, all right, let me explain something to you. Let's say we die. Like a dog and a cat and a cow. And we put you in a grave. The worms eat you and you just go. That's it. He says to me, you know what? I believe you. I accept that. I do accept that. All right. You put me in a grave, put the dirt over me, and the worms eat me and I'm gone. But what happens? What happens if I'm right? My Jesus lives and I'm going to Him. Where are you going? I accept yours. But just imagine if I'm right. Where are you going today? So the easiest thing to do, give Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the chance. He will pull you through, doesn't matter how you do it. If you're in the darkest pit, if you think you're in the... I was in hell. But He pulled me. He didn't wait. Immediately. Immediately. Didn't wait till I drowned, till I was half dead or gone. Immediately picked me up and said, I'll show you what I can do for you. Yes, we do go through trials and tribulations. He said, living on earth is not a smooth road. But you have to stay focused on the big man. Your daddy, your heavenly father. The only one, actually. So think about it. If that person's right, he's right. But what if I'm right? Where are you going today? That's the best thing, is to find joy, peace, kindness. And there's a lot of words that go with it. If you've got that in your heart, you can only rejoice. You can only smile. Why do you want to be miserable? That's all Jesus wanted, is love. And He gave it to people. And the Bible says, if there's no love, there is nothing. Who wants love? Who wants to be loved? Everyone. You get married one day to be loved. You have kids to give love to, and they give love back. You can look at life and you can put life into this, and this becomes real to you. As easy as that. I see my time's up. 20 minutes. But think about it. Think about it. It's easy. Don't make it hard. It's easy. It's so easy to do. I just want to say thank you for this special moment. I hope you had something taken in there. But yeah, thank you.